food court at the Mall of America. Presented by Plymouth Rock Assurance. It's Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Prepare and play well.
Toss sweep right for James White. Driving forward.
The Super Bowl environment is all about hype and ridiculous bull that will go on.
Diving to the goal line.
It's a great week. It's about competition. The two best teams on the biggest stage. The team that wins is the one that works the hardest.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
This is unequivocally the sweetest. The sweetest.
Just kept plugging away. Just kept fighting. Just kept trying to make plays.
Throws across middle four. Edelman runs to the 20, slanting right at the 15. He dives to the 13-yard line with a first down for the Patriots. But he rolls over.
Oh, boy.
And then he favors his right leg. Throws down the right side. He's got Hunt behind the defense. Chased by Butler and into the end zone with a touchdown. His second of the night for Kansas City.
Are you kidding me?
Just cheer up. Put a smile on your face. Do a car wash. You know, get to hang out with Gilmore. You know, go to the mall with him. Do some autographs or something.
Tom off the snap. Drops back. He pumps. He throws it left. He's looking for Kutch in the end zone. It's caught. It's a touchdown.
It's
Patriots.
Houston is dead. The defense is dead. They are gassed. The same way they wore Atlanta's defense down in Houston.
Well, nobody wants to see this. Carson Wentz is going off to get looked at in the locker room. The Steelers.
Oh, they got a clock. Half.
No timeouts remaining. Third and goal to go from the six. Roethlisberger under center. Drops back. He pumps. He throws toward the middle. It's back incomplete. Intercepted by Harmon. Deflection to Harmon. An interception of the end zone. The Patriots are going to win in Pittsburgh.
It's become clear that tensions between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are threatening to fracture the Patriots dynasty.
Touchdown, Patriots! Rodkowski had Byard on his back. Caught in the back of the end zone by Danny!
It's a catch!
Amendola!
Man, Danny, playoff Amendola.
He is going deep and alone, and into the touchdown is Jeffries!
They're the reigning champs, and they're going to come out and play like it. You know, we got to come out here and match their intensity.
We know what it's going to take to get the work done the week of. We know what the expectations are. We're going to be ready.
Nanny at 5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. We are on Radio Row in the Mall of America. Oh, the people you pee next to here. Stand there and look to your left, and it's Mike Florio, and to your right, it's the guy that's not carting over at Boomer Show.
What's Florio packing?
I didn't look close enough. Maybe next time I will.
A wink. Plymouth Rock Assurance makes this possible, by the way. This hour of Toucher and Rich brought to you by Planet Fitness. We are very lucky to have with us, and you got up early this morning. We have Bert Breer, of course, from MMQB. Also from the NBC... What is it?
NBC Sports Boston.
I always get
well, I mean, you are on that station, so.
Yeah, and I'm like royalty. Now,
are we interrupting something?
I'm tweeting
out that I'm gone with you.
Oh, okay.
That's what we need. Go. He's got a zillion followers.
Understood.
So, and most people are there just to yell at him, but they do follow him, which is nice.
So, Bert, we were talking about the story about Robert and Jonathan Kraft sat down with Andrea Kramer, and they said that there was tension.
Can you play just that one clip? It's like a 30-second clip, the first one, if you don't mind, where they were asked about whether there was tension within the organization regarding the Seth Wickersham article. Do you have that, Dan, ready to go? Okay, great.
Your word at the end of the Parcells tenure, dysfunction. Is there dysfunction in the organization now?
No.
There's no dysfunction.
No, wait.
Zero.
You have tension. I think tension, a certain amount of tension, helps make great things happen.
Dysfunction is when people take energy and use it to think about how to undermine other people. That does not happen. If it happens in this organization, I haven't seen it.
Okay, so
that's the second time they've acknowledged it.
I said the exact same thing. The first one was we got to put our egos
in
check.
But if it's a slip, you know what happens? Stacey James or whoever else goes to Robert and says, be careful. Right? Like, if the first time was a mistake, then someone in PR is going to Robert Kraft and saying to him, you know what? Be really, really careful about that.
Yeah.
So this is
So you're saying that this is
a second acknowledgement? Look, if they're trying to avoid, if they're actively trying to avoid validating what's been written over the course of the last 2 months,
he could have done that easily.
I can understand slipping up once, but I mean, God, it's distracting, isn't it?
We need older.
Okay, all right. It's the first time I've actually seen it. So, like, you guys have been talking about it for a few days. I've heard everybody mentioning it. And then I look over the corner of my eye and see somebody like power walking past.
All right. Yeah. Very good. Okay. So go
but
ahead.
But yeah, I don't think.
Should we have a power? Should we have a?
I'm a little disappointed. There was no headband or wristband.
We need a mall walker sound effect.
Okay.
Just so the people listening know when one walks by. We can continue the conversation, but just to keep them abreast.
Oh, so just we hear it, but don't acknowledge it, and just keep going.
Yeah, and just keep going.
Well, it's just funny because the first time you see it, like. You see them walking by and they're dead serious. They've got like the stone look on their face.
They're stone cold foxes for the most part. All right, Bert, continue with what you're saying.
Sex machines.
Yes. Thanks for adding that.
Yeah, so like, I think it's significant because if you let it slip once, it could have been, you know, just misspeaking or talking out of turn or whatever it is. These are smart people. I mean, you don't get to where Robert and Jonathan Kraft have gotten without being intelligent people.
Right.
And anybody can slip up once. But when you acknowledge it a second time, look, you're validating what was in that story.
So what's going on then? Like, I mean, because there is a...
I said this to you guys when the story came out. There has been tension. My belief is there has been tension in that building for some time now over what the organization is going to look like post-Brady.
Okay, well, that's understandable.
And now, and what happened when Garoppolo was traded, well, you know, now it's Brady basically has the hammer. Like, the circumstances in the organization changed. Bill has always had the hammer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you trade Garoppolo, when you commit to Brady the way that they've committed to him, when you say what Jonathan said about Brady having earned the right to dictate his own exit from here.
Yeah.
That changes everything.
Yeah, yeah. But in the end, why would Robert Kraft not just deny it to make the story go away so he stops being asked about it? You know what I mean?
That's a great question. Like, that's the question right there.
Yeah.
Because
like,
if he wanted to make it go away for 4 or 5 days until we get onto the other side of the game and then he wants to handle it, then...
It seems like he almost wants to keep it alive.
And he was talking that the first comment was about everybody checking their egos.
Yep.
Right. And about having to figure it out. Well, this isn't easy to figure. This won't be the... This one's different. This isn't just Bill saying to a player, put a lid on it.
Yeah.
This is
the owner of the team who can do whatever he wants.
The owner of the team who is not, in this case, not automatically going to side with the coach.
Yeah.
In fact, he'd probably be more likely to side with the player in this case. And it's a coach who has, in a lot of ways, been enabled by the player. Tom Brady's the reason why he can coach the way he coaches. Tom Brady's the reason why they can pay people the way they pay people. Tom Brady's the reason why they can negotiate the way they negotiate. They can get rid of players the way they get rid of players because... Everyone in that, like, Bill can take any player in that building and say, you know what, we treat 12 that way, so you got no room to talk about anything.
Right, but do you think there's part of Robert...
And now all Brady wants to do is, you know, what Brady's done here is he's doing things to set up his post-football career.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if you're Brady, right, if you're Brady and they go to you and say, cut that stuff out, like, that's over here, you know, we don't need the documentaries and we don't need the recruiting people up to TB12. We don't need any of that. If you're Brady, don't you look at that and say, well, wait a second. For 18 years, I took hard coaching. I took less money. I did everything to set the right example for everybody else here. Now I just want to do a little something to set myself up for post-football.
Have they planted any seeds?
Well,
I'll just leave you this, and then you can answer it.
Okay.
From what you have heard, do you think that the Krafts have planted any seeds in preparation for if, for some reason, out of nowhere, this kind of turns one way or the other? Like, if Belichick leaves, have they already come up with what seems like a damage plan if that happens.
All right, so think about your answer, Bert Breer, because some of us have to stay on the clock when, yeah. When their boss is sitting right across from them. They need to stay on the clock.
It's all hot right. Coffee in the face.
We got some oversight over there.
From the food court at Mall of America, Tutcher and Rich, presented by Plymouth Rock Assurance on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich. Rich has found a couple of mall walkers.
Damn impressive.
He is damn impressive, and I believe he's going to introduce you as Daron Harmon.
Oh, he tracked them down.
Yes, he did.
It's like all a right. shark so, circling the prey. Yeah.
All right. We are on the air.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to give me a little room?
You're good. All right, thank you very much. Okay, so we have with us here. You guys can hear. Let me open this up real quick. There you go. Come on in here. All right, we have some of the mall walkers with us this morning. And what is your name?
Jenny.
Jenny and Scott. Jenny and Scott. Now, you guys, now tell me, do you guys walk like the entirety of the mall? And how long is that?
Usually three times around, and that's about 45 minutes.
Oh, wow. About 45 minutes. How many miles is that?
No idea.
Yeah?
I have no idea.
We're just walking.
One and a half.
Oh, okay. Now, are you guys Vikings fans?
Yeah.
Okay, so who does that mean you're going to be rooting for in the Super Bowl?
Eagles.
You're rooting for the Eagles?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, now, why is that?
Well, first and foremost, I'm a Vikings fan, and then I'm an NFC fan. And then I'm the rest of the AFC fans, and then I'm a New England fan, and then I'm a Packer fan. So you guys are right at the bottom, sorry to say.
No, you see, I actually thought that was the way most people were going to think here. I thought, you know, since the Eagles beat them, it was, okay, let's go NFC. Obviously, we want the better team to have beaten our team. But it seems that most people here are Patriots fans, which I do find interesting. But seeing that you're not a Patriots fan, I do want to say, however, we have two Patriots players sitting with us this morning. We have Daron Harmon and James Harrison. There they are right here.
Hi.
Hello, James.
Hey.
Hey.
These are, What about the team don't you like? Daron and myself, you know, we're out there, we're doing our best. What about the team don't you like?
Yeah, why do you hate us?
Why am I? Well, I'm not a hater. I'm just looking for something else.
You know, I'm 40 years old. You know, I'm in peak condition at this point.
Your best days are behind you.
Wow! That's aggressive.
Well,
that's harsh.
I'm a specialist. Now I'm just punting, but Daron's still in great shape.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah, Daron looks like he's ready to go.
I mean, James is hanging on, though. James is still scrappy.
Well, they keep me around for my alcohol consumption around the locker room. But that's for the kids.
That's why you got to have one of those guys.
Yes.
That's right.
But, you know, it's not easy being a punter, and sometimes we don't have the body of an Adonis, but...
A lot of downtime, too, to play with.
Well, a lot of downtime to play with, and there's a lot of pressure as we head into this game. So, you know, these slings and arrows being shot my way and not in Duran's is a little upsetting.
That's right. And we also have, you know, working with us, ex-baseball player Jim Rice sitting at the end of the table.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi, Jim. Nice to meet you, too.
He's retired now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's retired. Hall of Famer.
Yes. It's been a long time.
Way to go.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, guys. thank you so much. And thanks. It's been wonderful. You guys have been everyone's been super nice here. We truly appreciate that.
Minnesota nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Minnesota very true.
Thank you guys so much.
You betcha.
Thank you so much.
I'm sorry, but go Patriots. We have to say that.
There you go.
You're not rooting for... Okay.
Okay.
All right.
No rooting
interest. Thank you. Eagles, Falcons. Thank
Eagles
you guys
fans
very much.
For the week. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, James and Daron. Here, I'll get the mic back to you guys.
All right. Very good. I don't think he believed that you were Jim Rice.
No, I'm thinking probably not. But I'm sure he bought that you were Harrison. I'm sure he bought that you were Harrison and a specialist, though.
Yes. When they said they were football fans, maybe we should have...
The alcohol consumption thing put it right over the top. That's the line that sold them.
Well, maybe I should have... We should have used less popular names. They seem to believe that Bert was Daron Harmon.
Well, that and this big
I would have thought, like, the name Daron would have given it away.
Well, listen, we're living in a different time.
type of world.
So is this the sound effect for whenever Mal Walker's walk by?
Ooh, doggy.
Yes, indeed. All right. So we were talking about the Patriots. And we were talking about Kraft, and he's not denying that there is tension.
Ooh, doggy.
He's not denying that there's tension in the organization. Bert, what is you're saying that Brady now has full control because he did say yesterday that...
Yeah, we've never seen a player have the hammer like this.
Yes.
I mean, that's the bottom line here. And I think this goes back to Deflategate to some degree. Because the way that, and you guys remember that meeting in San Francisco, Kraft stands up there and he effectively says, I'm standing down in this situation for the good of the league. And you guys know as well as I do that a lot of people in New England took that as he's siding with the owners over Tom Brady. And I think that reaction is something that Robert Kraft took very, very personally. I think in the 2-3 years since, there's been an overcorrection in the other direction where I think Kraft's grown closer to Brady as a result of that and tried to get closer to Brady as a result of that. I think that's sort of the genesis of a lot of this, where for a long time, a lot of us assumed there would come a point in time where Tom Brady would probably play somewhere else. I think that's sort of where it turned, where it became, okay, he's probably not going to finish his career anywhere else. And if Bill doesn't have the hammer to say I can trade him or I can let him go if I want to, that's a changing circumstance in the organization because he's had the ultimate say over everything from a football perspective.
Sure,
in that building forever.
How prepared are they? To my question before we went to the break, prepared are the Krafts in case Code Red, Bill Belichick, ends up saying he wants to retire?
Yeah, and, you know, we talked about this right when the Seth story dropped, right? So there are three main figures here. We know Kraft's going to be there because he's the owner.
Mm-hmm.
We know Tom Brady's going to be there now because Jimmy Garoppolo's gone.
Yep.
And Bill Belichick's the wild card. And obviously now, Josh is off to Indianapolis.
Yep.
Matt's off to Detroit. I think Bill O'Brien would have been their choice maybe over those the other two. And there was a little opening there where he might have been able to get him. And then they work out the issues in Houston, and he signs an extension. And so there is no logical successor. There is no name out there.
Would they go after Saban? I know that sounds crazy.
Oh, man.
I think it would make sense, though.
Of course. But, I mean, would Saban consider to work for the Patriots?
That was such a disaster in Miami.
Would Nick want to come here and step right into that?
If he's smart,
and
no.
What would Bill tell Nick about the situation?
He'd say, don't do it.
No, but if Saban was smart.
If Nick wants to establish things, and remember, Nick and Bill run their programs in a very similar way.
Right.
If Nick wants to establish that kind of program somewhere, the place to go isn't a place where there's a 40-year-old quarterback who's got power over everything, which is, if Bill were to leave, that would be the case.
I also,
as great as Brady is, and that's not a knock on Brady as a player.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, if you're going to come in and MF everybody, and that's the way your program's going to be.
Sure.
It'd be tough to establish that after things have been run here a certain way for 18 years. And now all of a sudden, one of the things that you know, was a contributing factor to the coach leaving is the fact that the player has that much power.
Did the Kirk Cousins, or rather the Alex Smith trade, give you any more perspective on what the Patriots were able to get for Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's another example of, you know, the return not being what it should have been. No question about it. And, I mean, we've talked about this, that there are a couple things here that stink to high heaven. Number one, he always says he's going to do what's best for the football team, right? That's his guiding principle. Well, if you're going to do what's best for the football team, and you knew that you were going to have to, you knew the clock was running out on Jimmy Garoppolo, you knew you were going to have to deal him in 7 weeks, you're not trading Jacoby Brissett on September 2nd.
Right.
And then number two, they almost always maximize the asset. If you're going to maximize the asset, you trade him in March or April, or you wait till after the year when there are going to be more suitors out there for quarterbacks. Not only did you not do that, you didn't call around in October.
Right, you went right to San Francisco this is what it is.
And so, those two things tell you there's other motivation for Bill here.
Mm-hmm.
In dealing Jimmy Garoppolo the way he dealt Jimmy Garoppolo, in getting Jimmy Garoppolo to Kyle Shanahan, to San Francisco, into a situation where Jimmy Garoppolo, the priority was getting Jimmy Garoppolo in a situation where he could succeed. When the priority's always been here, let's do what's best for the New England Patriots.
All right, so we are on Media Row, And there are mall walkers all over the place.
Doggy.
They didn't believe that Wallach was Jim Rice. They totally believed that I was James Harrison. Maybe we get a little bit more cryptic in the people that we select.
I don't know why I went straight to a Hall of Famer, but I should have gone.
Plus, that guy seemed to follow the game.
He's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. Jim Rice being a Hall of Famer is not widely known nationwide.
Sure, hang on.
All right, you tape.
Oh, here we go.
All right, you tape. All right, we will be back. Here are the headlines.
From the food court at Mall of America, Toucher and Rich, presented by Plymouth Rock Assurance on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hi, I'm Navy Petty Officer Jalen Delgado from Lynn, Massachusetts, serving aboard the carrier USS Nimitz. We are operating forward in the Western Pacific and ready to defend America at all times. I want to wish my favorite home team, the New England Patriots, good luck in the Super Bowl. Let's get it done, Pat.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. It's a special big game Feed the Fan Thursday presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Be listening this morning at 7:50 for your chance to score a $200 Stop and Shop gift card to fuel their big game party. StopandShop.com. Rich is in a standing position. He's on the look for mall walkers. And he'll play that every time that one comes by.
Every time we see one, yes.
All right, so Bert Breer's here from MMQB and NBC Sports Boston. You got to be surprised by the Alex Smith trade. This doesn't generally happen. And
I'm not surprised it happened. I'm surprised it happened this early.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Chiefs were aggressive. The Chiefs made phone calls last week, and we're active at the Super Bowl, which I know other teams were a little surprised how aggressive they were. And I think that they just wanted to close the book on it. They didn't want it to linger. And this, to some degree, was for the good of Alex Smith, too.
Doggy.
Sorry, I guess we have one.
It's pretty hard to have a serious conversation with
them. No, we're good. We have about 30 seconds. 30 seconds.
All right, so they wanted to get rid of him.
Yeah, and they... Look, this is about Patrick Mahomes as much as anything else, that he's ready to play. And you know, he was obviously the 10th overall pick last year. And I think the return the Chiefs got for him is pretty good. Kendall Fuller has a chance to be a Pro Bowl corner.
Oh,
and
wow.
Filling that second corner spot opposite Marcus Peters has been an issue for them for a couple of years now. It's why they went out and got Darrelle Revis. And so I think the return for the Chiefs has been was pretty good. And they were able to kind of close the book on this and move on to Patrick Mahomes early in the offseason. The Redskins screwed this up.
Yeah, he's going to be 34, Alex Smith is, this season.
Right.
Why sign? I didn't see the particulars in the contract. But that's a lot of guaranteed money.
Now, it's guarantees. That's not a full guarantee. There's guarantees.
How much money is in the first 2 years of the deal?
We need to figure out what's fully guaranteed, because that's going to dictate how long the team is tied to him, and that part that's not out there yet. And so, look, if this is the Redskins committing to Alex Smith for the next 3 or 4 years, that's one thing. This also could be the Redskins doing what the Bears did last year with Mike Glennon, what the Eagles did 2 years ago with Sam Bradford, where they bring in a veteran and then they draft a rookie.
They have 13th overall pick, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, and so there's a shot they'll get
one of these guys. I'm not ruling out the idea that they could be pairing Alex Smith with Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen or someone like that, which, again, that's like the new way to do it in the NFL. You look at Philly 2 years ago. They signed...
Doggy.
We got a lot of action out there, huh? 2 years ago, the Eagles signed Sam Bradford at $18 million a year. Everybody thinks they're all done at quarterback. Well, then they signed Chase Daniel.
Right.
3 years, $21 million. Then they trade up twice and get Carson Wentz. Last year, the Bears go and sign Mike Glennon at 3 years, $45 million. They signed Mark Sanchez. Then they trade up for Mitch Trubisky. So we've seen this sort of overinvestment at quarterback. That's sort of becoming the new model, where if you get it right, it doesn't matter how you got there. Like, if Carson Wentz is who we think he's going to be for the next 10 years, no one's going to remember that the Eagles signed Sam Bradford on the first day of free agency in 2016. And so I think I'm okay with this for the Redskins if this is just, we want Alex Smith here to be competitive for the next couple of years and give ourselves some cushion to get a rookie ready to play. Still, you can look at the way that they handled the Kirk Cousins thing over the last couple of years, and if they offer that contract to Kirk Cousins 2 years ago, he accepts it.
Right.
they probably don't pay a that's not a whole lot more than they paid anyway. They paid 44 over the last 2 years,
right?
And by now they're probably out of the guaranteed money. Where if they wanted to bail from the contract, they could. Just an epic F up of that entire circumstance by the Redskins.
One quick question about the Redskins: why do they keep doing this? Is the management that poor? I mean, this has been a pattern for how long now?
Is this
Snyder?
This goes back to the RG3 thing, right?
Yeah.
This was Dan Snyder and his treatment of RG3 and that organization's treatment of RG3 as a rookie, as a second-year player, as a third-year player. Kirk Cousins watched all of that, right? And then he puts together a couple good years, really good years, and they're lukewarm on him, and they're tiptoeing around it. And, well, maybe we can give you this, but we don't want to commit to you long-term. And I'll tell you, this is a problem. This is why a lot of teams want. This is why there's like the sticker shock with some quarterbacks getting paid. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't look at that position like any other position,
right?
Okay, and if you're waiting, if you as a general manager or a head coach or wait, or like look at your quarterback and say you have a Matt Stafford or a Kirk Cousins or a Ryan Tannehill or one of these types of quarterbacks who's maybe like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 in the NFL. If you're going to look at that guy and say, well, I don't really want to commit to him, we can do better than that. If you're waiting around for Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers to show up, chances are you're probably going to get fired first. Oh, here we go.
All right.
Here we go. We got the guy in the Notre Dame crew neck.
All right. Is there a favorite, do you think, for Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, I think the Jets and the Broncos will both be in the mix. I think the Jets have a very good shot at him.
And do you, if you're the Jets, is that what you want to do? Do you want to trade up in the draft and try to get a young guy, or
it depends on what you think of, you know, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield. But look, they don't think they're very far off. They've got a lot of money to spend.
Yeah,
they can legitimately go out and add pieces around a young quarterback.
All right, I'm sorry to cut you off. We have a one of the local sir. What is your name?
John,
and you are walking the mall today, correct?
Yeah, I walk out every day.
It's a heck of a mall. It's pretty immense, isn't it?
Yeah, I get about 12 miles in the day.
Wow, 12 miles.
Wow. 12 miles.
How long does it take to do 12 miles?
3 hours.
3 hours.
I'm an old man.
Well, listen,
you're in better shape than any of us.
Hope the Patriots are in better shape.
Tell you what. So are you an Eagles fan? Are you rooting for the Eagles this year?
I'm a Vikings fan, but the Eagles are my team because they beat the Vikings and we won.
See, that's so funny.
See, that's interesting because about how Vikings fans are rooting against the Eagles because of what happened last week.
Yeah, well, the Patriots have been there too long. I like underdogs.
Well, that's good. Well, we have with us, I wanted to introduce you, we have two celebrities here with us today. First of all, to my left is Aqib Talib. He is a corner in the NFL. And to his right is Kevin Clash, the voice of Elmo from Sesame Street. And they are on with us this morning. And Aqib, what was your name again?
John.
John. So, Aqib, is there anything you'd like to say to him about his prediction about the Super Bowl?
Well, it's not a prediction, but that's who I favor.
Well, I'm still pretty bitter about the way that the Patriots let me go.
Oh.
So, yeah, I'm with you. Go Eagles.
Kevin Clash, voice of Elmo. What's your opinion on this?
You know, I'm just a guy who sticks my hand in a puppet's rear. I don't know how much I have to say about these things. Are you familiar with my work?
Not really.
Wait, you've never heard of Elmo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of it. It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
You a fan?
Of Elmo?
Yeah.
No, I like a Cookie Monster better.
There you go. It's not right. It must be a generational thing.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah, right, you know, Elmo, you go, Elmo.
All right, well, thank you very much. We appreciate it. And go Patriots for us. I know you want the Eagles to win, but, you know, maybe next year the Vikings will be able to pull something off.
We'll see.
And they'll see him again in the Super Bowl. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Ooh, doggy.
12 miles is pretty good.
Elmo? Voice of Elmo?
What'd you think of that?
Elmo.
Not even if that's my dog, Bert. Out of you. Not,
I should have.
Like,
I should have.
Like no improv skills whatsoever.
I should have. I was thinking about it, and I was like, there's a chance I really fall on my face with this.
I'm like, no change in, like, you know, you, the, how you speak at all.
I'm not positive any of this is working. Right. We'll be back with more Kurt Breer. And we'll continue to try to get Moe Walkers for some unknown reason. All right. We will return in just a moment.
Live from Minneapolis on Radio Row, Toucher and Rich, presented by Plymouth Rock Assurance, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, how are you guys doing? I'm from the CBS Radio. Very nice to meet you guys. We're here for the Super Bowl this week.
The
big game. Would you mind if for just a moment I could talk to you guys about Minnesota and the Super Bowl? Excellent, excellent. What brings you here to the Mall of America this morning?
We're mall walkers.
Excellent. So this is a pretty big mall to do some mall walking, isn't it?
Oh, wonderful place.
Which is great. What do you guys think about the Super Bowl being in town?
Wonderful.
It's a lot of excitement.
I wish we could have been in it.
But do you guys know who Boomer Esiason is? Chance, do you know Boomer Esiason? Famous quarterback?
Yes.
Have you guys seen him before? He's right over here. Would you like to meet him?
Sure.
Okay, excellent. He does the radio show. He's kind of fallen out of shape a little bit in his older age, but is it over here? He's doing a commercial right here.
I'm telling you this. Go into Mattress Firm.
That's Boomer Esiason right over here.
He has changed.
He is part of the CBS Radio Network with us. Boomer, could you come here?
Yeah.
Okay. Guys, this is Boomer Esiason.
Hi.
It's a pleasure to meet you. What's your name?
Bernie. Hi. I'm Bernie.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah. So I played in the Super Bowl.
You want to play this year?
Oh, I'm too old for that. I was close to an MVP, but then it all crashed around me. It took a while to get over, but here I am. I'm doing media and trying to get my life back together.
Well, you have changed considerably.
Yeah, I wear glasses now.
Thank you guys so much. Hey, and thanks for being so welcoming to our town. Boomer, you have commercials you need to do.
Doggy.
A lot of hit and miss with the wall walker sound effect. No, the wall walker sound effect is the most effective thing we've done with the wall walker.
You can't tell what are they. Some of them, like, you know,
everyone comes over in like this state of confusion. Like, what is going on?
It's
here?
So damn nice here.
They're so nice. I have no idea what's going on. I mean, that was the nicest way to say "you fat sack of crap" that I've ever heard in my entire life.
I mean, considerably.
Oh, how do I make this? How am I going to be polite about this one?
How do I make this guy, not tell him that he's disgusting looking? This hour is brought to you by Planet Fitness. It's a special big game Feed the Fan Thursday presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. I can't believe Rich told someone Wallach was Jim Rice. We'll score a $200 in all the sea of people. Black guy who's a Hall of Famer. 617-931-0985.
When that mall walker said Hall of Famer, you knew it.
And he was nice enough not to completely blow it to bits.
I couldn't be more disappointed in you, Bert Breer. You didn't even drop.
I screwed that up.
When I introduced you as a kid to leave, there wasn't even a man. I didn't even get a man out of you.
I didn't know if that was what you were looking for. So I went with the bitter ex-player angle. I should have gone with, and I'll give Jess Flynn texted me on this. I'll give her credit. The chain snatching was the way to go.
Oh, sure.
There.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Let me finish this.
Go to
everyone's got to call the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985, and you'll score a $200 big Stop and Shop gift card to fuel their big game party. Stop and shop.com.
This is a strange scene. I mean, now it's getting really odd because being in a mall, you know, we've talked about how people have access right next to us and everything like that. But it started off this morning very strange because when we first got here, a person we work with said, who got here before us, that there was like a woman who was, you know, kind of attractive, but she was outside of the mall in the cold, freezing cold, like crying. And they're like, What's wrong? And she goes, they kicked me out of the mall. And I guess the security said that she refused to leave the mall and she had been here. And the assumption is maybe she was with one of the players last night or something like that. Nobody knows. But why would you be kicked out of a mall
at 4 in the morning local time. And then you've got things like Brian Hoyer a second ago was right behind us getting a Starbucks. And you've got all these different players. Like, you saw the picture of Kirk Cousins at that Shake Shack right behind us.
Right.
In line for a burger.
Yeah, in fact, I was told two Jets reporters. This was right after the trade. Two Jets reporters approached him in the Shake Shack.
Oh, I approached him. I approached, what's his name?
That coffee's giving you some problems.
Yeah, it is. I know. It's ridiculous. So,
by the way, is Bird on the phones today? Because all I see is phone calls, and then I see drop phone calls.
It's the Bird way.
Dan, is Bird on the phones? Hello? Anybody?
Yes, anybody? Yes.
Okay, what is he doing?
He's doing the contest. All those other people calling the regular line. I was trying to clear them.
Okay. Because, it is a situation where I can see the phone ringing. And
they're all dialing the wrong number, so I was trying to help them out.
All right, there you go. Fair enough. All right, so, Bert, we were talking about this. So you think the two most likely destinations for Kirk Cousins, because Cleveland doesn't make a play on him, correct?
I think, part of it for Kirk's going to be, and I know this sounds petty, but a team showing him love, because I think he feels like he wants to feel like he's the team's franchise quarterback. That was part of the problem in Washington. He never got the treatment that RG3 had gotten before him, and that was a big part of the problem. What does that mean from a functional standpoint? From a functional standpoint, I think he's going to want a promise from whoever he signs with that you're not going to go and draft one in the first round. Because obviously if a team drafts one in the first round after signing him, then he's going to be on the clock immediately.
Yeah.
And I think Cleveland would be interested in him. I know Cleveland would be interested in him. I don't think Cleveland would be willing to say we're not drafting one.
I want him in the AFC East. How far?
I think the Jets would do that.
Well, like, we had this discussion. We're like, when was the last time that you had a really good quarterback that wasn't named Tom Brady in the AFC East? And we went back to Chad Pennington.
Pennington might be the best opposing quarterback in the division in the Brady era.
Pennington's the best. Except for the 1 year with Favre, where he didn't play particularly well.
Favre was good for the first 10, 11 games, fell off.
Yeah. And then you fell apart. Yeah. So
who else is there? Buffalo hasn't had a guy.
Pennington probably is the best one.
Yeah. So think about that. Like, think about how long it's been since you've had a guy that you kind of feared.
And here's the other thing. Now, we know, you guys know what Kyle Shanahan thought of Kirk Cousins, what Sean McVay thought of Kirk Cousins. Well, the Jets' new offensive coordinator is Jeremy Bates, who is from that tree. And so he's a fit for what Jeremy Bates is going to want to do. And I know that Kirk would like to play in that sort of offense. So there is a connection there. I think right now the Jets would be the leader in the clubhouse. The Broncos are there, and Elway's going to do something significant at quarterback.
Right.
But they are so tight to the cap. They've only got about $10 million in cap space, and
they're getting rid of Aqib Talib, though, aren't they?
Here's the thing, though, right? So the attraction for Cousins there would be that's a win-now team.
Yeah.
But if they've got to clear all this space to get him, then maybe they're getting rid of Aqib Talib. Then maybe they're getting rid of Derek Wolfe. They're gonna have to restructure Demaryius Thomas, restructure Emmanuel Sanders. There are a lot of things that they would need to do to get in position to sign Kirk Cousins, where after you do all of those things, are you still the team you were before?